I go live on Twitter just randomly. I'm like talking to my boy. We're talking about crypto. I'm talking to crypto Twitter and all that stuff. And I ask like on live, like, yo, like, what's your favorite meme? Like, what meme should we buy? My boy goes bonk. My other friend goes bonk. I don't know what I said. I think I might have said bonk too. And then the girl I was with goes dog with hat. And I'm like, wait, what? Because in my head, I just expected it to be normal, like Doge or something. But she's like, no, dog with hat. And I turned the camera to her. I'm like, wait, say that again. And she's like, dog with hat. And it's a clip on my Twitter because immediately when she said that, everybody who was watching the live stream went and looked at the coin and started buying the coin.
Hey, y'all. I'm excited to share some news with you. Unchained is launching a crypto and macro podcast. On May 8th, we'll publish the first episode of Bits and Bips, exploring how crypto and macro collide, one basis point at a time. I've been wanting to do a show like this for a while, and I'm happy it's finally coming to fruition. Throughout this episode, we'll play moments from the most recent rehearsal. The first clip is from host Joe McCann, founder, CEO, and CIO of Asymmetric, speaking about the recent Fed decisions and their impact on the crypto market.
There's a lot of path dependency here, which is why it's on the tail. But if we enter an easing environment, if you know QT accelerates, the tapering even gets accelerated or ends, which I don't foresee. But let's assume some of these things did happen, and you have an election year. You know, maybe stock markets juiced into Q4, Q3, whatever. Who's to say that Ethereum isn't at 10,000, Bitcoin's not at 250, and Solana's not at 1,000, something to that effect? Like, I don't think it seems crazy because of the pain and the drawback that's happened in the market over the past 5 weeks. But, you know, Solana was $8 at one point and ran to 125 in a matter of months.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Unchained, your no-hype resource for all things crypto. I'm your host, Laura Shin, author of The Cryptopians. I started here in crypto 8 years ago, and as a senior editor at Forbes, was the first mainstream media reporter to cover cryptocurrency full-time. This is the May 7th, 2024 episode of Unchained. Deploy custom crypto strategies and boost your yield with perpetual options on Vaultcraft, the universal DeFi adapter for supercharging your crypto. With version V1.5, users can now earn options on Optimism and Arbitrum while also rebalancing multi-strategy yield products all in one vault. Learn more on vaultcraft.io. Polkadot is the original and leading Layer 0 blockchain with over 2,000 plus developers. And the Polkadot 2.0 upgrade will be a massive accelerator for the ecosystem, making it faster, more secure, and adaptable. Perfect for GameFi and DeFi to build, grow, and scale. Join the community at polkadot.network/ecosystem/community. Hey, Unchained listeners. As you know, it's hard keeping up with the fast-paced world of crypto, so we've got just the thing for you. Subscribe to our free Unchained daily newsletter at unchainedcrypto.substack.com. You'll get the latest crypto news and original articles from our reporters, as well as summaries of other happenings and bullet points, plus our meme of the day, all curated and written by our amazing team. It's still your no-hype resource for all things crypto, just in newsletter form. Sign up at unchainedcrypto.substack.com. Again, the URL is unchainedcrypto.substack.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Here's another clip from one of the rehearsals we did for Bits and Bips, the new podcast coming to Unchained on May 8th. This features host Alex Kruger, founder of Asgard, on why he's bullish on risk assets.
On the Bitcoin side, I think we're going to go into a market where we're trading mostly liquidity on stop runs. So what in the crypto market people call it is liquidations. I call it just simple stop runs. So I think it makes sense for the next... say month. Beyond that is simple fortune telling to be trading liquidations both sides right now. Right now the logical next move is basically for BTC to go run over 60k, Solana, Sol to get like, you know, at least 10% higher from here. then I don't know. Then I think we're going to be chopping around for a little while. There's a lot of people that need to get out of positions above us, so that's going to put pressure. But eventually, I'm very bullish on risk assets into year end for so many reasons.
Today's topic is meme coins. Here to discuss are Zion Thomas, a.k.a. Ansem, and Kel Elegy, a.k.a. Kel XYZ, as you probably know him on Twitter. Welcome, Ansem and Kel.
How we doing?
Thanks for having us.
This cycle, which kind of seemed to be catalyzed by the Bitcoin spot ETFs, is now known for also being meme coin mania. The current market cap for all meme coins is at about $50 billion at the time of recording. And in Q1 of this year, CoinGecko reported that they were by far the most profitable crypto narrative, with returns of more than 1,300% on average across the top tokens. And yet, meme coins are somewhat controversial. I think both of you actually think that there is some substance here, though, in meme coins. So why don't you just start by laying out kind of your best case or best thesis for meme coins. And why don't we start with you, Ansem?
Cool. I would say that I think a lot of people just like think really too hard on memes and meme coins in general, like why, like on how they don't have value or like have less value than other teams with like real protocols and like real revenues. If you just think about the internet, like crypto and crypto natives are very, very, very internet native people. Just like have always been since its origin. And if you just think about how memes get popular on the internet, on social media, across all these different channels, it would be crazy to say like, yeah, I think memes are going away on the internet. Nobody would really say that. But if you take that and then compare them, like the financialized aspect of them, it's like, oh, they don't have any value. But I think that there's definitely value in memes and culture on the internet. Like, if you look at TikTok and see how viral these trends go, if you look at like the influencers associated with these social media apps, when they get to like millions and millions of followers, that actually converts into real money for them. And I think the memes in the same way is like when they get extremely popular, it's a ton of mind space and a lot of different people, which is how they get like that value. Like if say there's like 100 million people who recognize this meme like instantly like that, 100 million people are like buying what, $1, $10, $100, $1,000. That's a lot of buying pressure just on whatever meme or meme coin, whatever you want to call it. I think it's more of like an attention thing and like an internet thing than it is really like thinking about teams that are building out products. If like the trend of people being more online and more on social media, I think if you would ask like a Zoomer, like the younger generations, like if I could bet on things going viral, that would immediately make sense to them because they do that all the time on TikTok. Oh, I see this is about to go viral. I'm going to do this trend. I see this is about to go viral on Twitter. I'm going to retweet this. I think this is a good tweeter, like all that. I'm going to follow this guy. And now we're just kind of like financializing it. And crypto allows people to do that extremely easily, which is what people are realizing now.
Kel, what do you think?
I think you hit most of the major points. Ultimately, you know, the winning trade, business, idea, crypto or otherwise in the last, you know, 20 years has been on attention, right? All of these $1 trillion businesses, be it Facebook or whatever, a trillion or almost at a trillion, what do? They facilitate the like directing attention, right? And the way that they've done that super successfully, you know, has been oftentimes via memes. You know, one could even make the argument that memes are the core engine of the entire internet. And so it makes sense that, you know, with crypto and the ability to tokenize anything, financialize anything, makes sense that, you know, memes would end up capturing a lot of that attentional flow and in turn, you know, some of that value as well.
Yeah, just hearing you guys talk, I was thinking like that Drake meme, you know, back when that started, like whoever created that could be a gazillionaire now. Both of you are deep into this space. So why don't you actually both talk about how it is that you got into meme coins?
Yeah, I can. I mean, I've been trading crypto for like a really long time now, I guess since like 2017. And every time like you have like Bitcoin does well, then alts do well. Different market segments of alts do well. Just kind of just how the money flows throughout the market. But Doge is like one of the best indicators always, every single cycle for like where retail is back. Doge is one of the coins that's been around since like 2012, I think, or whatever, or maybe 2014. But like Doge is one of the coins. It's still in the top 10. And if you look at the top 100 coins for the past like 10 years or so, almost like 99% of them are not there anymore. Like year over year, it changes a lot just because like of how rapid the pace of innovation happens in crypto. But Doge is always there. Like it comes back every single cycle. And the reason it comes back every single cycle is because it's so like ingrained in crypto natives, like their mind. Doge is like, Dogecoin's never going away. It's basically like one and two, like Ethereum, Bitcoin, Doge are like the three most known, I would say, coins to people. So just thinking about that, it's like, I trade L1s, L2s, DeFi, all that stuff. But when you bridge to a new L1 or on that chain, you have like, say you bridge to Solana, you have Solana. And one of my better trades this year was Bonk in the early days because there wasn't a lot of activity or other alts on chain that you could buy. So I was like, you bought Solana. And then it's like, okay, what else do I buy on chain? I want to get beta to Solana. So I was like, okay, Bonk is one of the only other coins on chain. It just happened to be a meme coin. And WIF in like the same way that's done really well. I think it's more of like looking at where you think the market's going to go and how you think the market's going to trade. Like if I see Pepe did really well last year in April. So people saw Pepe do well. And it's like, oh, that was a meme. So if another meme comes out that's similar like popularity to Pepe, I know people are already going to be like one and two and just draw the parallels there. And that's kind of how I make like a lot of my trades. It's just like seeing how the market did things in the past and then trying to predict on what it's going to do in the future. So
wait, right there where you said, if you see another coin that's similar to Pepe, like how would you define that? Like, do you literally mean like another frog coin or like what does that mean to you? Similar?
I just mean the same like market segment, like Pepe is a meme. So like other memes that are popping up on different chains. It's like, oh, I saw Pepe go from zero to 2 billion in like a month. It's like, okay, now that's possible for these other memes that start super low vals. And for people who are trading with smaller portfolios, it's like that's their whole thing. They're trying to hit 100x, like 1000x on these coins. But you can't really do that on coins that are already at a billion, 10 billion market cap. Whereas if you're betting on memes, they're obviously a lot riskier than everything else in crypto because they're a lot smaller and can go to zero a lot easier. But you also have that upside of being able to hit 1000x like on those coins. So I just think I'm thinking on how retail is going to trade this market. It's like makes a ton of sense to me that continues to be a trend.
Okay. So by similar, you mean kind of like the culture around. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Kel, how about you? How do you get into meme coins?
So I started trading crypto probably around 2020, like after the COVID crash. And I wasn't big into memes or anything like that at that time. But I distinctly remember this guy who had turned, I don't know, like 2K into millions by just getting every dog coin he could find and putting it into a spreadsheet and just buying every single one, right? And the majority of them go to zero, but then like in there is Doge, in there is Shiba Inu, and that just like returns the fund, if you will.
Yeah.
And this just like upset people heavily, right? Because you have all these people who are dedicating hours upon hours, nights and weekends of their lives researching, you know, this tech versus that tech and, you know, this nuance versus this interest rate. And then you just get drastically outperformed by a guy who just bought every dog.
It's like an index fund for dog coins.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that was like my kind of awareness moment, but I still wasn't mentally kind of ready. I was still too, you know, too mid-curve, I guess, to be like, I can't buy these, you know, I gotta buy this like more serious stuff. And so then fast forward to, you know, 2023, 2024, seeing the Pepe thing, and I was still kind of mid-curve about it. Like, you know, this is too much. It can't, surely it can't go, you know, 100x after it just went, you know, 10x already, right? But then it does. And so then in my mind, I'm just like, okay, there's something different about like, why does this keep happening? You have to, you know, when you're in the market, you have to take the time to really assess why these different things occur, because it's likely that similar dynamics will happen again.
Right.
And what I realize is that ultimately all of these memes, especially, they have unbounded upside. They have unbounded downside. But ultimately, the valuation is limited only by what people are, you know, there's no discounted cash flow that says that this is overvalued. It's simply, do people want to buy this because they like it? Yes or no? And it can become very self-fulfilling. And so after Pepe, I was like, okay, this is a real thing. Like, this is going to keep happening. Let me try and keep my eye out for that. And then going into like the success of Solana, where I had been like focusing a lot of my research at Messari, I just realized, you know, Solana keeps going up. This is going to create a kind of massive wealth effect. And typically what we see, be it on Solana or Ethereum in 2021, or even just with Bitcoin prior cycles, is that when this wealth effect is generated, people tend to flock into one kind of narrative or one kind of downstream ecosystem. And when I was looking at Solana, kind of similar to what was you saying, you know, you have very few coins, very few types of coins that people can even buy in the first place. And then within that, you can narrow it down to what are people actually going to, you know, get excited about? What can a large number of people all get behind? It turns out that the simplest answer to that question is the correct answer, which is stuff that makes them laugh, right? It's a lot easier to say, I'm going to punt $100 or $1,000, or if you're one of these whales, you know, $100,000, whatever the case may be, or even more, on something because it made you laugh, than to try and sit there and analyze something rigorously for a 2-week period before deciding to buy. And so that's what led me to really start looking into meme coins pretty heavily.
So my next question for you was, what are the factors you look at when evaluating a meme coin? But is it really just that simple? Like, what are there other things you guys look at?
Yeah, I think there's a few different things. I kind of came up with a somewhat sort of objective process for it, but I realized I was doing the same thing over and over. And I was like, okay, what am I doing when I'm actually looking at these and thinking which ones are going to go up? I kind of like centered on three main things, I would say. I say the first thing is like the relatability. So how relatable is the meme to anybody in the world, regardless of if they know what crypto is, like whatever their background, like what doesn't really matter. How relatable is this picture or video or whatever it is, the meme, to somebody? I think one of the reasons that Doge was like did super well when Elon was pushing it crazy hard last cycle is because it's just a dog. Like, it's just a dog coin. It's a coin and a dog. Like, it's very easy for anybody to understand and make the connection there. Even if you didn't know what crypto is, okay, Dogecoin, I'll buy $10 worth of Dogecoin. That's why you always see these memes of animals. It's because everybody loves animals. So it's like, you don't need to understand what blockchain is, what like L2 is. Like, you don't need to know any of that to okay, it's a cute picture of whatever. So I say relatability is really important, because that like the total addressable market like of holders is that you want that to be as wide as possible. And then I would say second piece of it is the distribution piece of it. So a lot of these coins, they all have devs launching them, right? The ones that do really well are typically the ones where the dev either sold all their coins, or the team who launched the token early sold all their coins really early. The reason that is a common denominator with a lot of the memes that go to billions plus is because there's not an overhang of supply with people who have way more than everybody else. So it's like, if you have a very wide distribution where there's nobody who holds 10% of the coin or like 20% of the coin, and everybody owns, the max is like 1-2%, you can't have like one individual basically capping the upside of the token in its early days, which is the most important period for any of these memes, is like the early period where you form the community, get X amount of holders. You want as many holders as possible in as early as possible, because that's how you have like this cult community form around whatever meme. And you've seen it happen with Pepe. There's people who literally bought 100K, 200K market cap. They're just like, oh, I'm not selling. I've been in this forever. I've taken some profit on the way up, but I'm holding my portion of the supply that I have. And then the third thing I would say is like the virality aspect of it. So even if you have something that's really relatable, you have something that has good distribution, there still needs to be a way that the meme goes viral and other people learn about it. And I would say a lot of times that's when you have like these, the KOL influencer, like all that, like people have a ton of followers. It's because that's how you get distribution to a lot of people like really quickly, is because a ton of people just see it. Like a lot of more people just have eyes on it immediately. And I think the reason Doge went to almost 100 billion market cap last cycle during COVID is because Elon is literally the richest person on the planet. Everybody knows who Elon is. Elon's like, I'm buying Doge. Like, I love Dogecoin, like nonstop, week to week. So everybody saw it. Like everybody on Earth saw that. So it was just like the potential for it to go viral was just massive. So I was like, those are like the three main things. And like after you trade memes kind of for a while, you kind of just like get a knack for figuring out which ones do well. And also like looking, probably the fourth, I would say if I had to pick one, was like how the community organizes like on socials or like on Twitter or whatever other platforms. Like one of the reasons that I saw Whiff super early is because people were just spamming me with the like dog editing the hat or whatever else on everybody's profile pictures all across crypto Twitter and in my Telegram, like all over the place. There was a ton of people just nonstop doing that. I'm like, okay, I keep seeing this. Maybe I should buy some of this coin. So I'll say those are like the main, how I think about it generally.
Yeah. One of the things you said about how if the founders have walked away and then like, you know, you just want to give the coin away to as many people as possible. Olaf Carlson, we said the exact same thing, but not about meme coins, just about, you know, when like VC coins are trying to figure out distribution. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it is true that, you know, we've seen this debate for a long time between like fair launch coins and whatnot. And yeah, just like, honestly, if I think about even the first thing you said, which was like total addressable market, it feels like both those things are just the wider the distribution and the more people that can kind of understand the meme or grok the meme or get into the meme, like the better it will do, like the wider the appeal. Kel, why don't you talk about how you evaluate meme coins?
It's crazy because, you know, me and Anton almost come to a very similar conclusion, just completely independently. It's actually so crazy. Because I almost have like the exact same criteria. I think the one thing I'll add on the virality aspect is what I'll call, for like lack of better term, like the amplitude of each person's ability to be viral. So what I'll break that down a little bit. With Whiff, one thing I thought was very special was that anyone could take this meme and easily remix it and repurpose it to basically add it on to any other meme. And so that allows it to spread far wider than something maybe that is more difficult for each individual holder or whatever. You know, you didn't have to be a career artist to put a hat on something and then just like send it to someone, you know, it's like kind of simple. And so each individual person, regardless if they have $5 in WIF or 500,000, they could spread it to a nearly infinite number of people because any meme could become a WIF meme. And so when you're evaluating like the incremental, you know, the next meme investment, a question you might ask is how easy is it for any given holder not only to relate to this, to Anton's earlier point, but to then also extend upon this? And I think that can give you insight to the degree of upside that this meme has, at the very least from how many people will like this or use this perspective. And whether or not that translates financially is a different question.
So it's so interesting that, you know, you guys are talking about all these different ways to evaluate meme coins, but you have not at all talked about tokenomics, which is, I'm sure you're aware, something that in, you know, more traditional crypto people talk about. You know, the price of Doge was really high when Elon Musk mentioned it on Saturday Night Live, and it's way down now. It's, I think it like reached kind of more around maybe like $20-ish, and now it's more at like, oh yeah, 14 cents or wait.
No. I think on SNL, I believe it was like 75 cents, and then now it's like,
well, yeah, sorry, I was looking at the wrong thing. I was looking at volume.
Like $20, yo.
That'd be crazy. That'd be crazy.
$20 oh my God. Anyway, so the point is just that, you know, like a normal, or I don't want to say normal, but like a traditional crypto person would say, oh, this is because, you know, Dogecoin has this like high rate of inflation, blah, blah, blah. Like, so do you guys ever think about things like that? Or, you know, why is it that you think the price of Doge is down so far from its high?
I think that's kind of like baked into the distribution piece I was talking about. It's like also on how the coins are distributed. Like, so I'd say the ideal scenario is that you have 100% of the coins in circulation. Like the team didn't hold back any. And then the meme just gets popular by being whatever on social medias and people pick it up. And the more people pick it up, and then you have some people who like have bigger followings that pick it up, or like celebrities or whatever else. And then everybody just somehow finds out about the meme. So that's how I generally would say. But yeah, I mean, these memes typically don't have anything like inflation or anything like that, because they're usually not their own L1s. Like Doge is kind of different in that way. But yeah, a lot of these memes are usually tokens on other L1s or other networks. They don't have like inflation or staking or any of that stuff. I do say there's kind of like two different groups of memes now. It's like you have the more fair launch meme coins, which are more community driven. Basically a team has none of the supply. And then you have the kind of more like orchestrated meme coins, which is stuff like Bonk, which has a team, and they build out a ton of products that are like useful for the Solana ecosystem. Like they have a bot, they have some other things, but because of that, you have to pay all the devs related to the project. So it's like the team has, I think, 20% of the supply or whatever it is. So it's kind of two different buckets. I mean, I think both do well, but that's yeah, how I think about it.
And Kel, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's just less of a consideration given the fact that the majority of the memes will be like fully circulating. The real question is just, you know, does the team obviously or covertly own like a gigantic portion of the supply? Kind of yes, no. It's much more of a binary thing compared to when I'm evaluating like a DeFi protocol. Not only is the supply an open question, but then on top of that, you have to consider, like, how does a token fit into this protocol? Is it like a backstop for this protocol? Like, is there, you know, all these other kind of questions that are there, but those are just not really present for memes generally.
Okay, so Kel, I know that you also break meme coins out into what you call kind of like large cap, mid cap, small cap. And I was curious to hear, like, you'll like project how far you think they could go. And so I wondered how you determine which bucket you think any particular meme coin will land in.
I think to some of the earlier points we were talking about the scope and intensity of the appeal of a meme kind of determines how far it can go. So if something is only really interesting or funny or generally attractive to a small subset of people on crypto Twitter, then its upside is pretty capped to like the small percentage of money that those people are each individually willing to put into that meme. And so maybe it can only go to 10 million or 50 million or 100 million market cap. Whereas, you know, stuff like Doge, which has appeal to anyone who likes dogs generally, is much more unbounded to like, I mean, coins like Doge and Shiba, I'm pretty sure they have like, you know, millions of holders, right? So it's tough to imagine some of this more crypto Twitter native, very like esoteric, had to have been there kind of memes getting to a million holders, because it's not nowhere near a million people who even understand this meme, let alone have been there to like, you know, speculate on it or whatever the case may be. So.
Yeah, and actually, the examples that you gave, like now that, you know, you're kind of fleshing this out, it's so obvious, because you gave Doge as an example of a large cap, and your mid cap ones were like Trump and Biden, which you're right, like the universe of people that likes dogs is way bigger than the universe of people that are interested in politics. And then your smaller cap was like Zin, which Will Clemente had
talked about on a previous episode here where, you know, it's like, I don't even know because I'm not Gen Z or whatever. But I guess it's like some kind of nicotine-ish something or other, like a vape something or other. I don't know, but it's related to that. obviously I'm representative of the universe of people that will probably never learn more about that than what I just mentioned here. But one other thing that I wanted to ask too is, you know, I've noticed that I think this area has a lot of bots and stuff. So how do you guys separate kind of like bot interest versus organic and genuine interest?
What do you mean by bots? You mean bots talk or
like on Twitter sometimes you'll see for specific coins that then there can be a lot of replies and it makes it look like there's a lot more activity or hype around a specific meme.
Yeah, I mean, bro, my account is like the home for all of that. it's insane. I mean, it's pretty clear that you can tell like when it's manufactured and when it's real though, because a lot of these accounts also talk about other things in crypto. So it's like if you have somebody like a group of accounts talking about a meme, they typically have other tweets that are like normal and natural. Whereas if you have bots talking about a meme, it's usually like that's just their only replies, and they're just like spamming replies. Typically with the same like copy paste, whatever. And that's really all they do. Whereas like Whiff is a really good example because there's a ton of people that bought when it was just like basically at zero. A lot of them have the PFPs, like different Whiff PFPs, and they have other trades that they take and like other memes that they look at. I think that's probably a good example, like really good community because they're just active in other areas and they're not just spamming the replies. But yeah, I'll say generally you can tell pretty easily. You usually can tell early too. Like Michi's another good one that's kind of has a similar like vein of Whiff where like they can edit a ton of things on the cat. And you also have a ton of people that are just like replying all over CT.
Okay. And then one other thing that I wondered about was, you know, we have these different chains that are home to different meme coins. You know, mm-hmm. This trend probably started on Ethereum. It's moved to Solana. Now Bitcoin is having its own moment as well. So how do the meme coin communities differ on the chains? And like, do you have a preferred, you know, chain?
Yeah, I definitely have a preferred chain. So Solana for sure. Slightly biased in that respect because I bought it super early. But I think that I've never really thought about that. There definitely are probably different communities on different chains. I think Solana is really good for retail in general because it's super cheap for anybody to buy. Like there's really no obstacles for anybody who can buy and sell memes on Solana. Whereas like with ETH, I remember when I was selling Pepe on chain, like when it was close to the top, I was paying like $100 plus, like $200, like every transaction just to push them through because it was so much activity, so many people buying and selling so much on so much volume on chain. Whereas with Solana, you don't really have those issues. Like I've seen people literally dollar cost average $1 buys for like days on coins. Cause I mean, they don't even have that much money, but it's like they're trading nonstop. So it's just like, there's a lot more people who can trade on Sol versus trade on ETH when it's congested. And then I think Bitcoin is really interesting. I honestly missed a lot of the Ordinals stuff early on. I think OXBT is the one that I bought instead of a lot of the other ones that literally did 1,000x. Bitcoin is interesting because there's a lot of old crypto money, I think, that like holds BTC, doesn't really get as active in DeFi and other areas. But I think they may be considering doing that now if there's like altcoins on Bitcoin or like JPEGs on Bitcoin. So I think like compared to ETH and Solana, the wealth effect is just massive on Bitcoin if you can tap into those like people who have been in crypto for a really long period of time. And that's like kind of why I like Wizard and I like Pups, because I think if you can get those people interested, then the ceiling obviously is just going to be higher because you have a ton of money on Bitcoin. That's generally how I think about it. But I'll say the degens are active on every single chain. Like if you're a good trader in crypto, you're on every chain, like regardless.
And wait, one quick question about Bitcoin. I know it's super early, but obviously BRC20s last year was kind of the tech behind the meme coins there. And now with the launch of Runes, are you noticing like, are they, you know, both kind of competitive, or is it really that Runes now is the preferred new tech for Bitcoin, for meme coins on Bitcoin, or is it too early to say? Or
I think it's still too early to say. Personally, that's what I would say. From what I've seen, people haven't seen that much of a difference in the experience trading runes versus BRC20s. I still think there's a lot of developers working through that and trying to get the best UX for trading on BTC. I think there's a lot of people still working on that problem. So I don't think it's in the final state yet, for sure.
Okay. Kil, what do you think about the different chains and their meme coin communities?
Yeah, I mean, there's always opportunity to be found, but just like any other market, those opportunities tend to kind of get power law distributed and cluster in certain spaces. Obviously, we've seen the scope and lasting nature of the opportunities on Solana far outweighed, you know, a lot of competing chains, at least with respect to meme coins. That said, you know, I've also had a lot of activity on Base. I've tried out, you know, Bitcoin as well. I do think there's still a lot of work to be done with respect to the, you know, runes trading or BRC20. I think people's expectations of the UX unlock of runes weren't really met, at least yet. But it is still very early days. You know, this is still quite new tech. So definitely optimistic down the line. But as of right now, I definitely say Solana by far outweighs.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because I guess since the protocol just launched, then of course all the other bells and whistles are not really available. All right, so in a moment, we're going to talk about criticisms of meme coins, which I'm sure you guys have dealt with a lot. But first, a quick word from the sponsors who make this show possible. Deploy custom crypto strategies and boost your yield with perpetual options on Vaultcraft, the universal DeFi adapter for supercharging your crypto. With version V1.5, users can now earn options on Optimism and Arbitrum while also rebalancing multi-strategy yield products all in one vault. You can also gamify your experience with Voltron, Vaultcraft's NFT reward optimizer, to earn even more XP points. From institutional service providers to DeFi degens, anyone can deposit into Vaultcraft's products to instantly start earning yield on their crypto. Go to vaultcraft.io and join the referral program to start earning rewards with the community today. Polkadot is the original and largest Layer 0 blockchain with over 2,000 plus developers. And the anticipated Polkadot 2.0 upgrade will be a massive accelerator for the ecosystem, upgrading the infrastructure with 8 times higher transaction throughput and twice as fast block times, perfectly tailored core time for the needs of every protocol, trustless bridges internally and into Ethereum, Cosmos, Near, Binance Smart Chain, and revised tokenomics and the implementation of a token burn to reduce inflation. Perfect for GameFi and DeFi to build, grow, and scale with one of the most active crypto communities in the space. Polkadot recently announced a partnership with Mythical Games, bringing top games like NFT Rivals with over 650,000 players and 43 million transactions to pave the way for GameFi in the Polkadot ecosystem. Get your Web3 ideas to market fast with economics that work for you. Think big, build bigger with Polkadot. Join the community at polkadot.network/ecosystem/community. Here's the last clip from one of the rehearsals we did for Bits and Bips. Here, host James Seifert, research analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence, discusses the launch of Hong Kong's Bitcoin spot ETFs. Remember, the first episode of Bits and Bips drops on May 8th, so turn on your notifications and follow us on social media so you don't miss any updates.
The first thing is that, like, this is just the Hong Kong market, so mainland Chinese cannot invest in these products, which a lot of people didn't understand coming from outside the ETF world. There's a reason that it's a smaller market. It's because it's restricted in who can and cannot buy, and there are not really any ways around it. Like, this is the Chinese government. Like, this is, it's not like you could just go into VPN and do this. Like, there's a lot of processes in place, and it's not going to be accessible from the mainland Chinese. So that's the other. But the other thing that I talked about, the minimal trading, they did line up a bunch of assets. So the Bitcoin ETFs have 248 million and the Ether ETFs have 45 million. So they, the one thing that the US does differently is, like, if they line up assets beforehand, they tell all, they have it come in on day one or day two. What these Chinese issuers did is they basically put the money in the fund before it launched. So the assets look pretty good right now. It's just that there's not as much trading, and we don't expect there to be that much trading, to be honest. Like, it's just a smaller market.
Back to my conversation with Ansem and Kil. So as I mentioned before the ad break, there was a ton of criticism of meme coins. One of the most memorable that I've seen is from Paulina, who's the anonymous commentator known for their like pointed blog posts that are little diatribes of commentary on crypto. And Paulina decried meme coins as, quote, merely a vehicle to transfer wealth from the many to the most obnoxious people on the planet.
Oh my God.
Yo. That's crazy.
That's wild. That's
super crazy.
Sorry, that's just so funny. What's your response to that?
I mean, I think meme coins have made people a ton more money than like people have lost on memes. If you literally just look at Doge, that's the biggest example. It's still sitting right now, I think, at like 10 billion, or it's higher than 10 billion. It's like 20 billion or something like that. Like that's $20 billion in value that like came from zero. So whoever bought Doge in like 2013, 14, 15, 16, they're still up 10,000x. Like a ton of people are up a lot on Doge.
$20 billion, by the way.
$20 billion, yeah. A ton of people are up on Doge in the same way that they're up on Bitcoin. Like for somebody who bought $100 worth of Bitcoin and $100 worth of Doge in 2014 or whatever it was, it's really no difference to them, like what they made or like what the coin is. They made as much money on either of them. I think a lot of people kind of miss that. Like these things actually hold value. Doge was top 10 in the bear market, and it did a lot better as far as like returns. And then all the DeFi coins did, which people think are like a lot more serious like than the memes. Like it outperformed a ton of other like serious projects. But it's kind of hard. I think it's hard for people to get in like that mental state, like framing like that these memes have value. It's easy for me because I've been on the internet forever. Like I've been looking at memes since I was like 8, 9. Like it's memes have always been around.
Out of curiosity, what age are you? But you don't have to give the exact age, but like roughly.
I'm 29.
I'm 25.
Okay. Yeah. So you guys, oh my God, like Bitcoin started when you were like 10 and 14.
Yeah. I should have been buying back then.
Right. I know, bro. I was on the
internet. Capri Suns or some shit.
Crazy. So crazy.
So maybe it is like partially a genetic. We don't know what age Paulina is, but I mean, the one thing I would push back on is probably some huge number of people bought Doge when Elon Musk mentioned it on Saturday Night Live, and so they're definitely underwater
for sure. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely people that bought the top on Doge and other memes. But I don't think it's really that different from people who bought Bitcoin at like 69K and then it went to 15K. As, I mean, basically the same thing. People bought Doge at 70 cents and it went to 20 cents. Criticism, I think, around memes, I don't think the purely price, like looking at price is valid because anything that people can speculate on, whether it's like stocks, crypto, altcoins, Bitcoin, Ethereum, like any of those things, people can buy the top and lose money. Like that's not really a specific to meme coins thing. And even like how far they go down, like a lot of the DeFi coins went down 90%. It's the same way that memes went down a lot. I would say like a better criticism around memes is like the shady behavior with like teams launching them, controlling a ton of the supply and literally just like P&Ding them as soon as they launch. Like you launch a coin, show it to some people, literally sell like 50%+ of the supply immediately on launch, and then it just goes to zero. I'd say that's like the better criticism because that happens a ton with these projects that literally start from zero. There's no really rules or anything around like how you launch. Whereas with these like coins were backed by venture capital, they're like obviously a lot more structured, and you're not going to have like P&Ds really with those types of coins because like they have vesting, they like have teams building out like actual products and all of that. So it's like different in that regard. I would say the better criticism is like around the shady behavior with launches.
So Ansem, as you mentioned, there's all these scams. And back in April, Andre Cronje made a proposal for what he called safer meme coins. And he suggested that there be like a bunch of conditions to make them safer. For instance, that 10% of tokens could be allocated to marketing, but they had to be kept in a multi-sig. 5% of the tokens could support the team's expenses. Again, needed to be locked in a multi-sig. The remaining 85% would be put in phantom or token LPs, and the token would not have minting or ownership capabilities. You know, he suggested this. I noticed on the tweet thread, people criticized it for being centralized, but I don't know if you saw his proposal or what you generally think of this kind of idea, or even generally think of the idea of trying to prevent these types of scams?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's a good idea, like to have kind of like some kind of like kind of rules around it. I think like one of the reasons that Pump.Fun has been doing well, it's like it allows anybody to launch a coin immediately like that, like made a ton of revenue in the past 30 days, because literally just upload a picture, give it a ticker, give it a description, and then it lands on this bonding curve. And then like once enough people buy on the bonding curve, I think they take a cut of that and put it in liquidity pool, and they launch it on Radium or whatever it is. But the good thing about those coins on Pump.Fun is none of them can rug. Like you can't rug any of them because it like immediately locks the LP or whatever it is. I think that's why, like, one of the reasons they've done pretty well is because they know if it comes off Pump.Fun, well, at least I'm not getting rugged. That's like, I don't got to worry about that scenario. But yeah, I think Kranji is smart for doing that with Phantom, because he's kind of realized that memes are not going away in the market. So he's like, okay, we might as well give people some sort of framework, and then also we can make money off it as well, and like kind of decrease the amount of people that are like purely just getting rugged on the memes.
And one other thing that I wanted to ask about was, I'm sure you're aware, there was this disturbing trend recently of these racist meme coins. You guys are laughing. You guys are so tell me why you're laughing. That was a surprise reaction.
No,
surprising reaction.
Because I mean, I've been on the internet for like forever. Like I've been playing games on the internet forever. I've been in the COD lobbies. I've been in like NHL, like all those stuff. Like the racism online from anonymous people is like a constant. It's not, it's like, it's surprising if that didn't happen, honestly. Like it's constant on the internet. When you have people who don't have to talk to you to your face and they can say whatever behind their keyboard, you're always going to have people like that. It's just how the world is, honestly. I'm not really surprised at any of that at all. Not surprised. Just the internet.
So, okay. But I mean, were you unhappy about it, or like you just seem to be very blasé?
Yeah. Some of the stuff, like it can get under your skin sometimes, but for the most part, you just have to kind of take the good with the bad. Like if you have these decentralized permissionless systems that allow anybody to transact globally, build whatever applications on all these smart contract platforms, you're also going to get that, like on the bad side of that, it's like permissionless for anybody to launch anything on chain at any point. It's just kind of like if you got to take the good with the bad with crypto. You can't, because if you were to put kind of like, I don't know, restrictions on it, like, oh, people can't do these things, you kind of mess up the entire framework for crypto. That's why, I just laugh about it. There's not really much else you can do, really.
And Kel, why did you laugh?
No, just like, you know, like Z said, ultimately it's just the internet, right? Like it's just people, you know, since I've been on the internet, this is just how these things kind of play out. And for me, it's just funny to see like people on Twitter and they're betting like their, you know, material sums of their, you know, life savings or whatever on some just dastardly kind of, token. And it's like comedic relief to me, you know. It's not something that I'm like, oh, like, you know, this is a massive step backwards for race relations in the world, you know. It's just like, you know, people kind of being done with their money. So I just take it as something to laugh at and kind of move on.
Yeah, I guess in the scheme of racist things that one could do, this is way more innocent than some of the other things, which we won't name. But to connect the Andre Konya proposal with this, like, do you feel like what he suggested there could prevent these kinds of meme coins or racist meme coins and there were sexist ones too? Or, you know, do you think there's other things that you would also, you know, propose to try to prevent that kind of behavior?
I mean, yeah, I probably could help. I'm not exactly sure what you kind of propose to stop people from doing. You can't really stop people from doing it. I think like what people could do on crypto Twitter is like when you do see stuff like that, obviously don't draw more attention to it and be like, oh, this is funny or this is hilarious. Like you don't have to like talk about the things that people launch. That like because even if it's bad attention, it's still attention. Like if you just talk about it, people are going to keep doing it. Like, oh, I did this. And then a lot of people talked about it and it made this many people mad. Then they're just going to keep doing it. Whereas like if they launch these coins, nobody pays attention to them. Nobody says anything about them. They just let them go. They just go to zero. Then it's like they'll stop doing it because they're not getting a reaction out of people. So I would say that's the biggest thing. Like the community could literally just ignore them and then it would stop happening as frequently for sure.
Huh. Okay. Kel, what do you think? How would you prevent people from doing this kind of thing?
It's just like any other troll kind of situation. You know, the more attention the troll gets, the more power and stuff like that. So the less attention, you know, and like that's why when this whole thing started, maybe that was a month ago or so. Yeah, it got some attention as people were buying into these tokens. But ultimately, once people stopped kind of buying these, speculating on them, and they all go to zero, like, you know, there's just no incentive anymore. And you don't get any gratification because no one's talking about you doing this stuff anymore. It just kind of naturally dies out. I feel like that's the best, like, it's almost like an antibody response by the community in general. It's like, all right, we're not going to talk about this. I'm not going to buy this. So like, this is really not going to go anywhere. So it just naturally falls away. I think that's like the best you can really do.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is so interesting because earlier you were saying that what makes meme coins successful is attention. And now you're basically saying, yeah, starve them of the thing that makes meme coins popular. So, well, I imagine that you guys have like some crazy stories. You know, I mean, even just like as a follower of this news, like if I look at kind of what happened with Bonk and the Sokka phones, where the Sokka phones sold out when they realized that like the Bonk airdrop would make it more valuable than the cost of the phone. And, you know, before then the phone, you know, the sales for that had been flagging. So there's that. There's the whole dog with hat thing on the Las Vegas Sphere. Ansem, you were part of that. I don't know. I just kind of want to hear some funny like war stories. Like what are some of your favorite moments that you've had with meme coins?
I have so many. I feel like now at this point, Whiff is honestly a really good one because Whiff, like the story of Whiff is kind of funny. So the Whiff launched on Solana, I think in December, I want to say, the dev and like the team sold all of their supply, literally like under 100K or like around 100K market cap. So it was like just the community. And basically like the Twitter memeing the like dog with fat on everybody's posts, everybody's tweets nonstop. So like when Bonk did really well and then like some other memes started popping up, I like randomly tweeted one day, I was like, yo, I'm gonna retweet the best meme, like the best meme basically edit who put something on my friend's profile picture. So my friend that I was with. And then like the Whiff Twitter account like edited her profile, like put a hat on her profile, and then a ton of people commented under it and it like blew up and went pretty viral. And I commented, like replied to it and like retweeted or whatever. So it was like 100K market cap. And then I asked like the girl I was with, I was like telling her about crypto. Like she doesn't know anything about crypto. I'm talking about crypto, talking about crypto Twitter, talking about my account and how like this stuff I talk about on there, like people like get a lot of attention on it. And I'm talking about all these memes on Solana and I'm asking her like, which one does she like the most out of all the memes? With like, have a list of all of them. I was like, which one do you like the most? And she's like, Whiff. It's literally like at a 100K market cap. So I'm with my boy with her and we're just like walking around chilling. And then I posted in, I think my Telegram, somebody was like asking me what memes to buy, like pinging me nonstop. And I was like, somebody said, like posted Whiff. And I was like, yeah, Whiff is funny. Like, I think it's a funny meme. And then that weekend, we like go out and we're like drinking whatever. I think it was for, what is it? The like, not the caroling, SantaCon. So SantaCon in New York. We're like out for SantaCon in New York. It was like going from bar to bar, drinking, like, or chilling, walking down the street. I go live on Twitter. Just randomly, I'm like talking to my boy. We're talking about crypto. I'm talking to crypto Twitter and all that stuff. And I asked like on live, like, yo, like what's your favorite meme? Like what meme should we buy? My boy goes Bonk. My other friend goes Bonk. I don't know what I said. I think I might've said Bonk too. And then the girl I was with goes dog with hat. And I'm like, wait, what? Cause in my head, I just expected it to be normal, like Doge or something. But she's like, no, dog with hat. And I turned the camera to her. I'm like, wait, say that again. And she's like, dog with hat. And it's a clip on my Twitter because immediately when she said that, everybody who was watching the live stream went and looked at the coin and started buying the coin. And this was, I think, at like a million market cap or whatever it was. And it like went like 5x that day. I go to sleep, wake up. And then the next day, people are like all over Twitter spamming me with the video from live, the girl being like, yo, doll with hat, that's the meme, like we should buy. And then like from there, it went just crazy. Now it's like 3 billion or whatever it is, 3 billion market cap. So I literally went from 100K market cap to a million market cap, like 10 million market cap in like 2 weeks. And now it's at 3 billion. That's just from December. But it was random because it was just like the girl I was with was like, yeah, I like this. I like that one out of all the other ones. And now as we started talking about it on Twitter.
Wow. Yes. And wait, just out of curiosity. So had you bought Whiff?
I hadn't bought it at 100K. I didn't buy it at 100K. I saw it. I knew what it was. And I think I bought like later, like slightly after that. But yeah, I hadn't bought it yet. I just looked at it. And then she was like, yeah, I like that one.
And then one other thing I wanted to ask about is your Telegram. Cause you mean like you have some kind of private group or something where you talk about meme coins or something, right? Or,
I mean, it's private. Cause I have the link to like share, but there's like 25,000 people in the Telegram.
It's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. Like we have a ton of different channels where people just talk about trades. There's one specific to like microcaps. There's one for research where people post like deeper long form research on projects that they're researching. There's one for like charts. There's one for all the different, like there's different channels for the different ecosystems. Essentially just a community kind of similar to what, Wall Street Bets is for stocks. It's kind of like that, but for crypto, and it just lives on Telegram. I have like a Q&A channel in there where I pop in and answer all the questions people are asking about the market. Just like hang with people, but it's insane that the like speed of messages in there is insane because people are, you know, crypto trades 24/7. So people are going 24/7 talking about coins nonstop all day. But it's funny because a lot of like memes on Solana now kind of like originate and like in that Telegram, because everybody's there trading. It's like, oh, which memes we buying this week? Like, what's y'all favorite coin? Like, whatever. So yeah, that's the Telegram. It's not really private, but like I post a link every once in a while. It's just there's so many people there. I had to like literally get some people to help me mod it, because it's just like sometimes it can be a lot of spam. But yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Actually, Kel, before you answer the question about your war stories with the meme coins. You have tweeted frequently about Ansem's influence in the meme coin market, and I wanted to just get your take on, you know, what you think his influence is.
So I think it's interesting because people have this perception that like, oh, like there's some secret cabal that like tries to push these memes and all this kind of stuff. And in my experience, that's actually not true whatsoever. Of course, there are people who have, like, it's like almost the opposite of true, where like I see people try and do this very frequently and they almost exclusively fail, because to our earlier points about broad relatability and virality and stuff, you can't really manufacture that. People think you can, but you can't. So I think like with respect to Ansem's chat and stuff like that, I think because you have a group of 30,000 people in one place, that is like you know, that's just like a breeding ground for like ideas to proliferate. But is it something that people can like coordinate around easily? No. And like anyone can go into that chat, you know, if you're listening to this or you see this, I implore you, go into that chat for one day and then you tell me whether or not you think like people are super coordinated there. The answer is like obviously not. But it's funny, you know, you bring up the Whiff story, because, you know, I have the exact same story, but from the opposite angle. It's just like a random market participant kind of seeing this all go down. And I'll never forget, like, because, you know, the volatility one must endure on the route to success in these memes is not for the faint of heart. to say the least. So, you know, I remember being like, super, you know, like in this chat thinking like, you know, if something sticks out of this group of like 20,000 degenerates, you know, it's gonna be super successful, and thinking that Whiff was that coin. But having to endure this like up and down and going from like the classic meme of like, you know, we're so back, it's so over, we're so back, it's so over and over and over again. But I knew I was right, funnily enough, when the video with that, the girl who had said dog with hat, whoever that girl is, shout out her, because I knew Once that video hit, I was like, crypto Twitter is a place where, for better or worse, a lot of these guys, they have a lot of money and not much experience actually speaking to women of any kind. So, to have like a woman validate a token is that it was actually like a breakthrough moment. It's reflected in the chart to Ez's earlier points. So it was kind of funny, like seeing that story from that angle.
This is so interesting. So your theory is that part of the reason that that worked is because it was a woman who was saying that.
100%, like 100 million percent.
Oh my God. Because that's totally the attention thesis, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, right.
That's the thing. Like, she didn't know anything about crypto, like nothing about crypto. She just knew, like, she liked the meme. That's what we're saying. Like, if it's relatable to anybody, it's a really good test. If you could, like, ask people who don't know anything about crypto which memes they like, that's a really good test for like how well they can do, because they don't have any frame of reference. Like, they don't even know you can make money on it. They just know like the picture. Like, they're not even thinking about this, the speculation aspect of it at all. It's just like how much people like it. It's kind of like a score, like a retail score. Whiff is a 10 on the retail score.
Oh, right. There is, there's some metric out there where, I think they call it like net promoter score or something. Mm-hmm. So Kel, is that your war story that you want to share?
Yeah, I mean, just like the whole Whiff experience. So earlier on, I had mentioned this whole, like, there's these wealth effects and then that kind of trickles down into the ecosystem. So Ethereum goes up a lot, then you have DeFi Summer and Yearn Finance, and a ton of stuff come out of nowhere and do super well. And with Solana, you know, Solana's going up a lot, but nothing in the ecosystem had really performed super well. And so that's what I had been looking for, is like the second order trade going off of Solana. And then within that, I had come to the conclusion that the most likely place for that to emerge would be Ansem's Telegram, because it's a built-in group of 20,000 people, right? And so my war story is literally just like 16, 17 hours a day just watching what these people are talking about for days on end to no result. Just watching, scrolling, like losing sleep, like sleeping 2 hours and showing up to the... at that time, I was still a Masari, and like showing up to the office on like 2 hours of sleep, like people being like, "Kel, like, why are you not sleeping?" And I'm like, "Bro, like I'm searching, dog. Like just let me search." Yeah. And then, you know, eventually, you know, found the one. And then the whole come up story and gaining conviction, losing it, gaining it, losing it, and all that is just crazy.
Feel like you're dropping serious alpha here, but I don't know if it's one of those things where once it goes, you know, public, then it will be less helpful. But anyway, so now I want to get a little philosophical. You know, we've been using this word meme coin throughout the show, and we've just been using it in like the most kind of direct colloquial sense. But I'm sure you've heard this expression, Bitcoin is the original meme coin. So I wondered if you could, first of all, just for the audience, describe what that means, but then also like just explain, like, do you agree with that? Or like, you know, when you think of what a meme coin is, like, what's your definition?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I actually did a thread kind of on this the other day. I think it was like last week or so when I was out in Dubai. So I think like the reason I think you can say that Bitcoin is the original meme coin is because like the whole definition of meme coins is that like the only value is derived from the community and like how, like either how memeable it is or like how much attention it gets, like basically what the community decides is worth, is that's what it's worth. So when Bitcoin, in the early days of Bitcoin, when people were just mining it, there wasn't really even a price attached to it because it wasn't trading on exchanges. It was just people mining it and setting up the network. So when you have like that bootstrapping phase of all these people, like that was the distribution. So Bitcoin had really, really, really good distribution early on. But it's also like the community of people around Bitcoin just refused to sell it. Like the people who had all the early supply, they just didn't sell it. And that's why it was able to reach escape velocity, because like a lot of those early holders in Bitcoin just had such strong conviction, like almost to like a religious extent, that Bitcoin was worth way, way, way more. Would be worth way, way more in the future. But like, if you ask anybody what Bitcoin's value was back in 2012 or whenever, they would say the exact same thing that people say about meme coins now. Like the quotes would literally be the exact same quotes. Like, oh, it's just fake internet money. Like it's just made up. It's not worth anything. It's just like rat poison. And all of those quotes that people say about Bitcoin back then are what people say about memes now. But you wouldn't say that about memes on the internet. Like nobody would say, yeah, I think memes are never going to exist on the internet in 5 years. Like that's just a ridiculous statement. But if you say the same thing about meme coins, then somehow like people agree with it. That's kind of generally how I think about it. It's just not in the meme coin sense that it doesn't have value. I do think Bitcoin has value, but the only reason that it has value is because a like large community of people basically decided that it had value in its really early days and when they were bootstrapping the network. If they didn't, it could have just went to zero, like literally.
Kel, do you want to add anything?
Ultimately, I think a meme is just an idea, right? You know, and there's different ways to express an idea. Dog with hat, you know, the idea is expressed via picture, right? And, you know, depending on how abstract you're willing to get with things, you can say, you know, Bitcoin is ultimately just an idea. It's an idea secured by itself, right? The miners, they're not paid in gold coins or dollars or soybean futures. You know, they're paid in Bitcoin. So it's a self-fulfilling kind of idea. And, you know, again, what we've said several times, the scope of a meme is defined as how broad, how relatable it can be, and how strongly people are going to feel about that. Well, turns out, you know, if you give people this idea of the hard money, which changed by over the years, right? First, it was electronic cash. Then it's, you know, the idea can morph over time, just like any other movement or any other kind of idea. Ultimately, at its core, though, it's still an idea. And so, you know, phrasing it as Bitcoin is a meme coin is obviously a way to like, you know, it garners the most attention around the topic, which is, you know, to our earlier points about, you know, attention is currency is like a smart way to do it. But, you know, ultimately, they're all ideas, right? So I think I agree with that statement.
Yeah, yeah. It's like this whole thing about how money is a social construct. You know, mm-hmm. like I have a lot of people who are like, oh, but, you know, the U.S. dollar is backed by the U.S. government and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah. And, you know, we also used to transact in seashells. So, you know, it's like, it's not any different or special. So let's now talk about the future of meme coins. You probably have heard this theory that Chris Dixon says that new technologies always start off as skeuomorphic. This reminds me of when I started in journalism back in the late 90s, which is probably when you guys were all born. And the internet was like just becoming a thing at that time. And so literally my first few jobs in journalism was largely composed of me putting the print edition of, you know, like the magazine or the newspaper, or whatever, online. Literally, that's like what the web used to be. So I wondered, you know, just what you thought the future of meme coins would look like. Like Lee Jin wrote a fascinating post on how meme coins can be used as go-to-market strategies for businesses. And she talked about how this Bonk bot does so much volume. At the time that she wrote about it, this bot in this Telegram chat for buying Bonk, it was doing $200 million in daily trading volume, which she said at that time was the same amount of volume that Base was doing every day. And then Vitalik also wrote about how meme coins could be used for charity or for doing other kind of social good type things. He called one of his ideas Robin Hood games, which you could probably figure that out. but yeah, just generally, like, what do you think of some of these different ideas, or like, what do you think the future is for meme coins?
I'm not really sure. I definitely think that they're going to continue to exist and people are going to continue to build on them. Just like, as I said, anything that was a meme, like, or is a meme on the internet can be turned into a coin. And I think people are just going to continue to do that. Like, one of the most recent ones that's kind of a really crypto native meme is the Wizard one. So Wizard, which is like the magic internet money, that slogan, that like original meme that was posted on Reddit back, I think, in like 2012, literally Bitcoin was trading at like $30. Is this MS Paint meme that went super viral on Reddit. And then, like, I think that year Bitcoin went from $30 to like $1,200. And that's actually the meme that, like, the Doge founder, that's how he got into Bitcoin and got interested in crypto. So that's like one of the really early memes. Like, it didn't have a coin. It was just a meme. Now it has a coin. So now there's a coin attached to it. And it's like has hella provenance in crypto. So I think you're going to see things like that. Like, there's kind of these historical like artifacts type of things, like memes on the internet that are going to get turned into coins. That's one of the things I think is going to continue to happen, because people are kind of realizing now that like that has value to some amount of people, but that value is not currently able to be speculated on. Now let's figure out how to let people speculate on it and where like that gets priced at.
Oh, and wait, and one other thing to ask you about is just because the FriendTech airdrop's happening the day we're recording. So wanted to throw that out there too.
Cool. Yeah. And I think one of the other things I think is going to happen is like NFTs last cycle were really big for retail. And one of the reasons that NFTs were big for retail is like the community aspect of them. Like, everybody who owned this NFT is part of this community. Then you have this community where you can like give all these give things to, like set up events for, like organize around. And memes are very similar in that everybody who holds this meme feel like they're part of this community, like make it their profile picture. Like with Whiff, like it's not an NFT project, but their profile pictures are the Whiff meme, like across all the different spectrums of edits. So it's very similar, like NFTs and memes now. I think what's going to happen is you're going to have NFT projects, which are just like also memes. And you kind of seen this a little bit happen with the 404 standard on ETH, I think, where it's like you have the JPEGs, and then when you fractionalize the JPEGs, you just get coins. So it's like you can either hold one of the JPEGs or you can hold like a fractionalized version of that JPEG as a coin. I think that standard, it may not be 404 specifically, but that trend I think is going to continue to be really popular, because you have the aspect of altcoins where it's like you can have a ton more holders. So your community is like a lot bigger than it would be with just like an NFT 10,000 collection project. But then also it's like you have the picture image aspect where it's like something that people can relate to, make it their profile picture, like all that, all of those things, which is like a lot of the benefits of the NFT side of things. And then you can get really creative with like how you organize community, like what you give to them, like I think in a lot of different ways. So I think that's another thing that's probably going to happen. I'm not really sure what else it's going to be. It's going to be interesting for sure.
Kel, what do you think?
I think in a terminal state, I think all memes will become coins. So I think, you know, if I imagine social network in 10 years, I would not be surprised if the creation of a meme was natively financialized, just because, you know, the trend is just towards increasing financialization of things, and crypto makes that trivial from a tech perspective. So now it's just a question of like, how do you package that tech in a way that galvanizes people to do this? And like with crypto native memes, we're already at that point. You know, some random thing happens on a Tuesday, within 5 minutes, there's going to be 10 coins on pump.final trying to capture this moment of this meme. So I think that's only going to continue, or at the very early stages of that. I don't know exactly like the form or method that it will take, but if you ask me, you know, bet yes or no on this 10 years from now, I definitely bet yes. And you know, I think communities of all types on the internet will have their own like meme coins in the way that we do in crypto. You know, Whiff is a sort of community. Right? It's beyond just like, you know, it's an idea, but it also attracts a certain type of person in the same way that a social club in New York attracts one type of person and a country club in the Hamptons attracts a different type of person. And I think, you know, if, for example, Balaji talks about network states and all this. I think in 20 years, all the internet network states will all be centered around sort of memes in a way. So those are my two boldface predictions. You know, 20 years from now, if they're right, someone pull out this clip, and if it's wrong, you're gonna forget about it anyways, so don't even matter.
And what about something like friend.tech, where it's like more around like some person? I don't know.
Yeah, I like FriendTech. FriendTech is interesting because it kind of taps into the social tokens kind of lane of things, which I think is another interesting area. Like, a lot of the reasons Like I talked about Doge last cycle, it did well because it was kind of just like a social token for Elon. Like it was basically just like people were like Elon Doge, Doge Elon. And I think nobody has really explored yet that social token, like trading of literally individuals and like their attention, their influence. Nobody's really figured that out yet, but FinTech is kind of trying to do that. I think one of the good comparisons that I make is for that app is like, it's the Uniswap for social tokens. So it's like any celebrity, any athlete, any creator, artist, whatever, musician, anything, like you can trade them and their popularity or like their access on FinTech. And then like now with their V2 launch, I think they're doing some other things with like money clubs, which is like you can have multiple people form a club that people can join. So say you have, I don't know, like your favorite artist is Taylor Swift and she's like she makes a club for people to join. People in that club get access to like VIP concerts, meetups in person, all these different things. And in that, she also adds some of her friends to that club, and it's like a multiple like group of people that people want access to. So yeah, I think FinTech is interesting. Also, what they did with the distribution is interesting. It's kind of more similar to how the meme coins have distribution because they just literally gave 100% of the token supply to the community. So instead of giving VC coins or giving the team coins, they just gave everything to the community, which is very similar to how the meme coins do all of their distributions. I think the reason they did that is because they make a lot off the fees, so they really don't need access to the coin anyway. That's just like how they make money on the app, but it is similar in that regard where it's like, okay, everybody on crypto Twitter or who was active on FinTech got their equivalent share of the coin.
All right. Well, Kel, unless you have something to add with that, I think I've asked all my questions. Do you want to add something on that? On FinTech?
No, I mean, I guess I kind of agree. We'll have to see again, like the form, but I agree with this idea of trading attention of like what individual people can do is like generally a smart thesis. It's just whether or not FinTech will be able to package that thesis in a way that can take the next step. They've done well to get a lot of the crypto native kind of people. Question is, you know, 3 years from now is, you know, LeBron James going to be on FinTech, yes or no? I have no idea, right? But if the answer is yes, it's obviously going to be extremely valuable. So,
all right. Well, this has been super fun. Where can people learn more about each of you and your work?
I'm a BLKNOIZ06 on Twitter, Ansem on Twitter. Yeah, that's where I live at.
Yeah, just KelXYZ on Twitter. Yeah, definitely can find me there. Hit me up, DM me, whatever. Shop it up.
Perfect. Well, it's been a pleasure having you both on Unchained.
Cool. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining us today. To learn more about meme coins and Ansem and Kel, check out the show notes for this episode. Unchained is produced by me, Laura Shin, with help from Matt Pilchard, Juan Aranovich, Megan Gavis, Pam Majumdar, and Margaret Curia. Thanks for listening. Unchained is now a part of the CoinDesk Podcast Network. For the latest in digital assets, check out Markets Daily, 5 days a week, with host Noel Atchison. Follow the CoinDesk Podcast Network for some of the best shows in crypto.